And we are live from Teddy's Tavern, downtown Nashville, right across the street from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza. It is the final edition of the award-winning pregame show this season as the Tennessee Titans look to mercifully end their horrendous season when they take on the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are playing not only for the AFC South crown, but a spot in the playoffs. So there is at least something to be had in today's game, even if it really has nothing to do with the Titans. Derek Mason is here today. Hello, D-Mace.
Hey, what's going on?
So we got a lot of Titans coaching drama and gossip to get to, and we will do that in just 1 second. But I do want to know, you've played in games before, meaningless week, 18 games like this one for the Titans. Is it any different when a team like Jacksonville has a playoff spot, a division rival, knock the Titans out of the playoffs? Is it any different than, say, if this were just any other team just playing out the string?
I think it is a little bit different because it's a division foe. And, you know, where the Titans sit, I don't think I've ever sat in that seat. But to go OFA in your division, you don't want that to happen, to go winless in your division. So this game means a little bit more. One, because you don't want to be the only team that doesn't win a game within a conference. Mm-hmm. And then two, you want to end the season, you know, on a, you know, a better note, in a sense of we finished our last game playing really hard, really tough, and winning in our stadium. So that stuff does come into factor. But, you may get a couple of guys here and there saying, you know, we would love to spoil it for Jacksonville. But once you get inside the game, you're not thinking about that stuff. You're just thinking about, you know, winning a football game, ending the season, you know, winning that last game in your building.
All right, now let's go over the latest as far as the Titans hierarchy is concerned, because that is really the big story here. So all throughout the week, there were reports coming out. It started, I believe, on Monday of last week when Mike Lombardi, the former general manager, came out and said that the Titans have some issues in the front office, and the question is whether or not Vrabel's going to want to come back. And then there was some more smoke throughout the week, and then Vrabel came out, and he said he wanted to be here, and he said that he had no problem working with Rand Carthon.
Uh-huh.
And Chad Brinker, and Anthony Robinson, who he always throws in there when he talks about Rand, which is something in and of itself. And then yesterday, Adam Schefter at ESPN, quote, "Despite speculation that the Titans are not expected to undergo significant change this offseason, there are expected to be organizational meetings between Coach Mike Vrabel and the team's decision makers to determine whether any notable changes will be made," league sources told ESPN. "There are people around the league," Schefter writes, "who think that either Vrabel would be open to being moved to another team or that the Titans would be open to moving him, maybe both. Vrabel publicly has said he wants to remain in Tennessee, but others have wondered how content he is. It is possible that there might not be change, some within the Titans organization. Meetings that will likely happen this week will help determine that direction that Vrabel and the Titans can go, but the situation in Tennessee currently is not settled, according to sources." That's Adam Schefter.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Pelissero this morning, NFL Network. Quote, "Sources say Vrabel has not approached ownership with any concerns about the structure of the organization or his alignment with general manager Rand Carthon. Vrabel has continued to coach the team with the same passion as when he was hired in 2018. I don't know how newsworthy that is. Thank you, Tom Pelissero. "But he's also done little to shoot down reports and social media speculation about his displeasure with the trajectory of things in Tennessee. Amy Adams Strunk has not commented recently on the status of Vrabel, who is widely regarded as one of the NFL's top coaches." Now, here's the news nugget in here. Mm-hmm. "Vrabel signed a contract extension before the 2022 season that sources say runs through 2025 with a team option through 2026, and there's no reason to believe Strunk would simply let him out. If Vrabel did become available, though, league sources expect there would be a robust market. Tennessee hired Rand Carthon a year ago over in-house candidate Ryan Cowden, whom league sources believed to be Vrabel's preferred candidate." Now, here's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that Mike Vrabel thought, this time last year, Mike Vrabel thought Ryan Cowden was getting the general manager job.
Mm-hmm.
That it had been indicated to Vrabel that Ryan Cowden was going to be the general manager of the Titans, and that I think it had also been indicated to Cowden, mm-hmm, that Ryan Cowden was likely to be the general manager of the Titans, and that they were going to go forward and, you know, their vision combined together would be what would run the Titans. In fact, if you go back to Vrabel's press conference after the last game last year, he talked about how they would be more aligned in the future. And a lot of people took that as a shot at John Robinson. But again, I was told that Vrabel thought Ryan Cowden was getting the job. Then, all of a sudden, from what I was told, it was like, surprise! And that Vrabel's anger with the organization is not that he doesn't like Rand Carthon. At least that's what I've been led to believe. But it is that Vrabel is upset or is disappointed about maybe there's a lack of trust there with Amy, considering that it had been indicated. And I say Amy, I should point out the whole ownership group, because it's not just her. There's a lot of different moving parts inside the Titans. There's a lot of different people that his lack of trust and faith is with the organization, because he felt like Ryan Cowden was getting that job. Mm-hmm. And that's what I heard from a league source. I talked to another league source yesterday, and I asked the league source, I said, what's the word on the street about the Titans and Vrabel? And definitively, the league source said he is back for one more season. To which I said, doesn't that kind of
make sense? Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
So I asked back. I said, sounds kind of pointless. Wouldn't they be better off to trade him like the Buccaneers did with Gruden the Raiders did to the Buccaneers with Gruden back in the day? And the league source said, unsure if Rand has a name he can land. Also, currently not an attractive job based on some of the other current and projected openings. Not due to ownership, the source said, but due to overall talent. So, what do we make of all of that?
It's a lot of stuff going on within that organization, seemingly. But again, this is nothing new. This organization was depleted of talent the last 2 years. And I think it's been depleted of talent, like true talent from top to bottom, for more than, you know, the year and a half or 2 years that we've seen. But because Derrick Henry is at the peak, you got Ryan Tannehill
playing really good,
AJ Brown. Yeah. It sort of masked a lot of stuff underneath that was going on. As long as our top flight guys are healthy, we're good. But you saw as soon as those guys started to drop, the production started to drop with this team. So this personnel or you know, whatnot, it hasn't been good. It just showed its face the last two seasons. So I'm not surprised about that. It may not be an attractive job moving forward for anybody. You don't know about your starting quarterback. He showed some flashes of brilliance, but then he's shown some things that rookies do throughout the season.
And let's not kid ourselves, too, that the league told us what they thought of Will Levis when they didn't draft him.
Yeah, they drafted him.
So these other guys that would be interested in these jobs probably weren't banging the table for Will Levis on draft night because they probably would have drafted Will Levis if they had been banging the table
for Will Levis on draft night.
So a coach to sit there and say, I want to go coach the Titans because they have Will Levis, probably doesn't exist. My bigger issue, though, is this whole – you know, we hear one thing one day about, you know, Diana Russini says around Thanksgiving that, you know, Vrabel's not going anywhere. They're not interested in trading him. They're not. And I said, okay, fine. I remember when they said they weren't firing Mike Mularkey, and then they did fire Mike Mularkey. I remember when they said the same thing about Mike Munchak. I think it is now obvious, you know, and especially for me personally, because I think a lot of people think that I was like pushing some kind of, you know, story that was no story, that you're just saying whatever. There's clearly an issue there. There is clearly, if Schefter's reporting it, Pelissero's reporting it, you know, again, I tell you that this goes back to last year when Vrabel felt like the ownership group lied to him by making Rand Carthon the general manager. Not that he doesn't like Rand Carthon, but he felt like he was told Ryan Cowden was getting that job.
Well, I mean, I can see why he would be upset. If you're being led to believe that this is going to be the guy, we got to do our interviews with everybody else, and we want to bring other candidates in, but more than likely, this is the guy. But if Amy's not the only person making the decisions up top, like she may be the person that says, put a stamp on it, let's go. But there are other people that are involved in making decisions. Maybe she wanted somebody, after she looked at it and after everyone looked at it, wanted somebody outside of the organization. She didn't want this to be a yes man situation where everything I say as a head coach is yes. because you and I have that type of relationship. Mm-hmm. She wanted to bring someone else from the outside in and sort of not ruffle feathers, but, you know, sort of mix things up a little bit. Again, I don't think he's upset with Rand. Like you said, I think he's upset with Amy. And if that is indeed the case, then maybe y'all need to part ways. Maybe you need to find some type of avenue where you can either trade him or you let him go without having to pay him any more money. Those are the one, you know, the two of the options you can sort of, you know, the paths you can go down. But I can see if that is indeed what happened. I can see why Vrabel is upset, because you told me one thing. I'm not upset that you hired the guy, but I'm upset that you told me this was the guy, and then you went behind my back and you hired this guy, and then you forced this collaboration. Mm-hmm. I've always wondered, like, why did this word collaboration all of a sudden start to be the thing to say? You didn't say it when John got hired, when the head coach was already in place. Why wasn't it a collaboration then, but it's a collaboration now? So it's going to be interesting moving forward how they handle this, because – you don't want this to linger into next season, into the off season, where it doesn't seem like everyone's okay. There seems to be somebody's disgruntled, and then the other guy, he's not disgruntled, but he's trying to figure out, like, I just want to do my job. What's going on here? Meaning Rand. You don't want to go into a situation like that. This roster isn't good. Who's going to want to take over this roster? I don't know.
Well, and they did a bad job this past year.
Exactly.
And like that is, to me, completely indisputable of all of this, mm-hmm. is that they did a bad job this last year. They are both absolutely on the hot seat if they return next year. Mm-hmm. Like, they are both.
That's why I say you should, if you're going to do it this year. Get rid of, because it's like a lame duck walking. It's like, this is your last year.
Right.
And who wants to go into a season as a head coach knowing this is your last year? Let me go now. Let me find a spot. Allow Rand to find his head coach, and then let the clock start then. But you now, it's like, if you keep him, you know one person's disgruntled. The other person's trying to figure out, like, what's going on here? I'm just trying to work and get the job done. And you as an owner are sitting up there, you know, are you going to make a decision? And then when do you make that decision? Because if the season isn't going well, do you, bam, like you did John Robinson, all of a sudden after four games, we get a new head coach? I don't understand that part.
So there's a lot of kind of different doorways that you kind of open with that one. Uh-huh. This is an incredibly complicated situation for the Titans. I start off first by looking at, let's just look at, you know, the immediate Vrabel. Let's just start with Vrabel before uh-huh. we get to Rand Carthon. I think the relationship is over, regardless of whether or not.
Between Vrabel and the Titans?
Yes.
Okay.
Regardless of whether or not he comes back. Mm-hmm. I don't think he wants to be here, and I'm not sure that they want to have him anymore.
He told you that when he said, I said, listen to words. He said, as long as we can win. They can't win.
And he knows it.
And he knows it. Right. That's why he threw that out there.
Right. So I think that, look, if the Titans won't let him out of his contract, he'll coach next year.
Yes.
But he won't want to be here. And I think that they're probably tired of Vrabel, because Vrabel is annoying. Like, he is obnoxious. And I think that that's great when you win. It's colorful. It's, you know, he's everything you want in a coach. But when you lose, it's really obnoxious. And I just think that, you know, kind of is enough. And he's lost a lot of games. Like, this is the NFL, and you got to win now. Like, and everybody knows that. So the question then is, what do they do with Vrabel? They're not going to – I don't think they're going to outright fire him, mm-hmm. because everybody tells us that there would be a humongous market for Mike Vrabel if he were to be a free head coach. And so the Titans are probably going to want to get some value mm-hmm. out of Mike Vrabel. But it is now more complicated to trade a coach, because you cannot interview anybody until after the divisional round of the playoffs. And so then they have to interview two minority candidates as well to satisfy the Rooney Rule. And so, for instance, let's say that the Patriots decide they want to fire Bill Belichick and trade for Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Then they have to wait until the division round, interview two minority candidates, and then they have to cement the trade. Well, what if by then the Titans have changed their mind? Then the Patriots, how are they supposed to go out and find the right coach, because they were spending all their time circling Vrabel, and then the Titans changed their mind because they have to wait these couple of weeks? That can be a big problem for trading a coach.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of wrinkle into this. And then there's the other part of it that is, who wants Vrabel and what would they be willing to give up? And so that's another part. Then there's the Rand Carthon part of this that you brought up. If Mike Vrabel leaves and Rand Carthon gets to hire a head coach, you have promoted Rand Carthon. What has Rand Carthon done to deserve a promotion?
Well, you brought him in here. The promotion was the GM job.
But that wasn't – you didn't give him the job of you're in charge of football and to hire the coach.
That's why, you know, if you're going to – there's a way in which the NFL does things. Now, sometimes they may go outside of it, but when they go outside of it, how many times do it truly work?
Never.
Thank you. So there's a way that they should have won about
Andy Reid, I guess.
Andy Reid, maybe. That's probably one, you know, and then Bill Belichick. But Bill, I mean, that's something totally different.
Right. So to this point, though, Rand was not hired to be the head of the football, right?
Like, well, that was Amy's fault.
It was, then,
if that was indeed, if indeed that was the thought, then that is Amy's fault for going outside the protocols of what the NFL set up a long time ago. And it's not like it's just one of those things that just happens. You know, you hire your GM, then you allow your GM to hire your head coach and so forth and so on. So that's Amy's fault. So to me, I wouldn't hold on to Vrabel and that, because Vrabel's not a player. He's not. I wouldn't hold on to Vrabel just because I believe other people will go out and get him.
Sure.
If he doesn't fit what we're doing, if he doesn't want to be here, my mama always told me, you can't keep somebody that doesn't want to be kept. If he doesn't want to be here, let him go. And somebody else will pick him, but give yourself enough time to be able to go out there and interview the coach that you want. You don't have to rush it. There will be coaches. There's only 32 jobs in this league. So you can't tell me, I don't care how the roster looks. A good coach is going to want this job.
Yeah, this time last year, Stephen A. Smith was on TV telling black coaches not to take the Texans job.
It's like that would
have been
stupid.
And D'Amico Ryans is, you know.
Exactly. It's like that's stupid. It's only 32 of these jobs. That's like telling Stephen A., hey, don't nobody take that job that Stephen A. just vacated. No black person take that. That's asinine to say.
So then there's the Amy part of this, too. And I go, hold on. I do want to put you on the hot seat here.
Okay.
Do you really, truly trust Rand Carthon?
Yes, because, listen, he hasn't given me anything.
The guard in the first round didn't bother you?
The leaks in the offseason didn't bother you? We don't know, because we say Rand doesn't have power, but then we want to give him power. We don't know if that was his guy.
I don't know anything.
And that's what I'm saying. So it's not like I don't distrust him. My thing is, let him do his job. If you want to get rid of Vrabel and make him like he is the guy making decisions, the way it's supposed to be, then that's when the clock starts for me as far as trusting and not trusting. But right now, I have no reason not to trust him.
So I don't trust him.
Okay.
And I don't trust him because, again, everything – and this could be, you know, the collaboration's fault.
Yeah.
But everything has been, in my opinion, one disaster after another, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they go into free agency and they sign Andre Dillard and they don't get a wide receiver until the very, 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 very end with DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what's the matter with these people? Then, you know, again, the leaks, the Henry leak, the Byard leak, all those things I think were problems. And, again, the Titans, whatever Rand's job is, because I don't really know exactly what he does, but he was not brought in here to be above Mike Vrabel, and we know that. They were brought in to be on the same. Well, if Vrabel goes, then you say, all right, Rand, you're hiring the coach, you're this, you're that. You are promoting Rand, and I don't think he's done anything to do that. And I think about it from, okay, right now, one of the reasons why people say you can't fire the general manager is because he's only had 1 year. Mm-hmm. Well, if you let the general manager, who jury's still out on, but I am not in favor of, but if you let that general manager hire a coach, now you're in the same predicament next year, which is, well, and let's say he hires some bozo. You can't fire him because you know, he's only been here for 1 year.
Oh, and you so can it fire continues, him if you want to.
It continues the cycle.
But you can fire him if you want to. I mean, to me, allow him to do his job. You messed up when you said.
And when you say do his job, you mean allow him to do the job that a normal
GM.
General
exactly.
manager needs.
That's what I'm saying. A normal general. Let him do the job of a normal GM, okay? But you messed it up because of what, you know, one guy was supposed to get the job. He didn't get it. So now all of a sudden, to pamper this side, it's just collaborate. That's all. Just collaborate. Don't make it a big deal. Just collaborate. No, if you would have did it the right way, the way things normally are done within the NFL, then maybe you wouldn't be running into this problem. Because right now, it's this side versus this side. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. You got Vrabel and his people, and you got Rand and his people.
I don't think it's Rand and his people. I think it's Vrabel and his people, and then the Titans organization.
And, okay, let's
like,
put it that way.
Like, talking about Amy
yeah.
and
let's
ownership. And
his people, and now they're butting heads. Someone's leaking this. Someone's leaking that. You don't know who's leaking it because you got one side that's upset.
And not only that, both sides have lied to us enough, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Titans ownership has lied to us plenty of times. Uh-huh. You know, and I use the Mike Mularkey thing as an example. Mike Mularkey is our coach and will be our coach going forward. Mike Mularkey's fired.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, well, how can I trust you now with that? And then on the Vrabel front, like,
when does
Vrabel not lie? You know, so it's like, I don't know what to trust on either side of it. And then that takes me to Amy. And Joe wrote an article in The Athletic about how the Titans drafted Derrick Henry. And so this is why I empathize with the decision Amy made, which I think is a bad one. But Joe wrote an article about how the Titans found Derrick Henry ahead of what might be Derrick Henry's last game today with the Titans, which we will get into at some point today. But basically, Blake Bedingfield was the director of college scouting. You know Blake.
Yep.
You know, I know Blake. And Blake was the one who was banging the table for Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. The morning of the Friday night of the second and third rounds, they had three picks in the second round. Blake, Mike Mularkey, John Robinson met, and he threw out Derrick Henry, and both guys shot it down. Mm-hmm. No. So then Blake went to Mike Mularkey and kind of sold Mularkey on it, saying, hey, if this is the identity that we want to have, if this is the style we want to play, this is the guy for that style and that identity. Mm-hmm. So it kind of worked over Mularkey a little bit. Then the Titans draft Kevin Dodd and Austin Johnson, and they got their third second-round pick, and Henry's on the board. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Blake had worked over Mularkey enough to where Robinson turned to Mularkey and said, what do you think? Mm-hmm. Mularkey said, well, Blake is kind of makes some good points about Derrick Henry and about the identity we want to have, and so I think we should do it. So right then and there, Robinson, who started the day saying no, mm-hmm. on Derrick Henry, finally says, okay, you know, and they draft Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's the best player, in my opinion, no offense to your era, mm-hmm. that's ever been a Tennessee Titan. Like, not that. I would put him ahead of
below,
both Stephen Aaron and Eddie
below
George.
When you, he got to win the MVP and take the team to the Super Bowl.
I'm just telling you, I would put Derrick Henry ahead.
But I get you.
I think he's the best. And yet, how did they reward Blake Bedingfield? Mm-hmm. for finding the best player this era of the Tennessee Titans?
He's no longer with the team.
They fired him.
Yeah.
And I think Amy goes back to like that. Mm-hmm. And I think John Robinson got kind of isolated from a standpoint of, you know, oh, I think we'll just do this. And it wasn't as much of a, hey, what do you guys think? Like, let's talk it out. Let's work it out. So then she tried to force that collaboration. Mm-hmm. So I understand why she wanted the GM and the coach to collaborate. I want you guys to work together. The problem is I don't think you can force that and have it work
it.
In a positive right. Had it been Ryan Cowden that was the general manager, and like, who knows what Ryan Cowden's capable of or not capable of? I don't know. I don't know Ryan Cowden very well. I like what I do know, but I don't, you know, whatever. Had they made Ryan Cowden the general manager, and again, this is what I heard Vrabel was told was going to happen, and I think what Vrabel wanted, then at least I feel like they would have been able to be, you know, instead of like, we have to play nice and we have to figure it out and I have to give in, I think it would be easier for Vrabel to shoot down an idea or Cowden to shoot down an idea. It would have been easier for them to have an argument.
Yes.
Based on their relationship and their mutual respect for one another. And so, again, what I'm saying is I think all three are guilty in some way. But I also have empathy for all three, right?
No, like, I don't. For what?
Well, Vrabel thought that he was, you know, getting somebody that he thought he could work with, and then he didn't.
Uh-huh.
Rand Carthon was put – I mean, look, I don't think Rand Carthon's done a very good job this year. I also don't think that Rand Carthon was put in a situation to do a good job this year. Mm-hmm. And then Amy, you know, she wants these people to collaborate, but she tries to force them to do it, and it blows up in her face.
Well, I mean, listen, this is a big boy sport, and if sometimes you ask players to walk into that building, whatever they have going on in their personal lives, when you walk through that building, those suitcases you have, you set them down right there. Mm-hmm. You go in there, you do a job, and that job is to win football games. We can't – everybody can't bring their problems into a locker room because it's going to destroy it. You know, that's the same thing with a head coach and a GM. Whatever problems y'all have, set that stuff aside. When you walk through this building, let's play football. Let's coach football. Let's scout football. That other stuff doesn't matter because if we don't, all of us are going
to
be gone.
Well, it's easy to say that, but at the same time, when it comes to
– it's easy to do. I did it for 15 years. It's easy to do to have those suitcases. As soon as you walk through that door, set them down.
But what I'm telling you is the owner comes down and says, hey, let's talk about our business, right? Doing a radio show.
Uh-huh.
You and I can do a radio show together, but that's because we've known each other for, what, a decade?
Exactly.
And we've been on the air together, and we've been off the air together. And, like, if they came to us and they said, you two are doing a radio show, go for it. I'm like, okay, we can do that.
Exactly.
If they were to sit there and say, hey, Jared, we're putting you with this person. I mean.
You're like, I do it, but.
I mean, there's a chance that it could be. You know, a great relationship that could yield a great show.
Uh-huh.
There's also a chance that it could be somebody that, you know, doesn't. Like, let's say, you know how some people take, like, sports opinions personally?
Uh-huh.
If it's somebody who takes sports opinions personally, it's not going to work with
me. Yeah, you can't.
That's just not going to. So then all of a sudden, I'm now in a position, and putting myself in Vrabel's shoes, but on the radio, of where I kind of have to acquiesce a little bit because I know that this person takes sports opinions personally. So if I, you know, tell them that his opinion is stupid then or heard, then, like, they're going to be, like, take it really personally. Uh-huh. So now – and now it affects everybody. And I think that's what's happened here. So when – it's easy to say, you know, hey, everybody, you know, hold hands and whatever. But it's different when you're on the clock at 11 and you want Zay Flowers and I want Christian Gonzalez. And we're sitting there looking at this board, and Peter Skoronski's the highest remaining guy there. And I feel like the owner has mandated that I work with you. And you feel the same way, even though in your heart you don't believe that you need a guard with the 11th overall pick. But he's the highest on the board.
And you take
him. So let's just take him. And I think that sets everybody up for failure.
Well, it does, because no one feels as if they have enough sort of sway or power to sort of pick the guy they want to pick or not pick the guy they want to pick. It's like, okay, I want this guy. We can't get him, so let's just get this guy.
Right. And I, again, trying to empathize with how they would feel because I've never been in that situation
but
before.
But I say, and when I say I don't empathize, it's because – of the way the sport is.
Well, like, the way the sport treated you.
Exactly. But then the way the sport treated the player, you couldn't empathize with the player. The minute the player said something, it was like, oh, you're not for the team and all this other stuff. So my thing is, if you expect the players to do this, then you should in return do it as well.
Yeah.
That's why I look at it from it's
right. They don't ask you, hey, Derek, we're thinking about drafting
exactly.
Joe Flacco to be our quarterback.
Think?
Like, what do you think about
exactly.
This?
It's like, no, we're drafting
Joe
him.
Joe is throwing you the ball.
You work with him.
But at the same time, to that point, like in terms of decision making, that true collaboration of I'm working with someone who I don't know, so I can't trust them because I don't know them, and trust has to be built. And now it's like I'm going to die on this hill if we picked Peter Skoronski and I didn't want Peter Skoronski. And I'm not saying they didn't want Skoronski. I'm just using that as an example. And so I see how both guys could, you know, feel like they don't have true ownership of the situation here.
Yeah, I can understand that part. So what do you do moving forward?
I've told you what I would do, and everybody gets mad every time I say it.
I
clean house.
To me.
Start over.
To me, I don't think you – well, you can, but she's got to pay a lot of money out, and she's not going to want to do that.
Easy for me to say.
Exactly. I think
– but I also wouldn't have done this stupid collaboration.
Yeah,
so
I would have just – if you're going to hire the guy, name him GM, and roll with it. You know, y'all figure it out.
Or if you're that committed to Vrabel like you were last year – then name Ryan Cowden the – Vrabel, who do you want? You want Ryan Cowden? Ryan Cowden's GM. Vrabel, you're in charge.
I don't think they wanted him to have that. That's like –
I didn't want him to have that power either. But
that's like, here, it is yours.
Right. I didn't want him to have that either. But, If you fire John Robinson and you're going to keep Vrabel, I talked to Doug Whaley this week, the old Buffalo general manager, and he was on my Sirius show, and I asked him about Vrabel and Carthon and all the drama, whatever. And he's like, "Well, I have to assume that Vrabel had a big role in picking Rand Carthon." I'm like, "No." He's like, "Oh, well, I mean, that's like people around the league do not understand. Like, wait a minute, hold on. Vrabel didn't have any say in this? No."
Well, again, if you're going to go down that road, and we're talking about next season, my thing is move on from Vrabel. Allow him to go to another team. If you can't trade him, which more than likely you're not going to be able to trade him unless some team is just so desperate that they say, "Well, we don't want him to hit the market. We want him now." Allow him to walk. Allow Rand to pick his head coach. And then that's when Rand and the head coach is on the clock. It's like anything else. It's like, listen, we're starting from ground zero right now.
Starting over with Rand as GM.
Exactly. Yeah. Starting over with Rand as GM. And if you're not getting this thing right, then just like any other, you know, owner in this league, I got to fire you and a head coach. I'm not doing this anymore. The mistake you made was firing your GM in the middle of the season, not having a GM, and then working everything around trying to find a GM when it should have been the other way around. I'm not saying fire Vrabel, but I don't think you should have fired John in the middle of the season.
Hold that. We'll continue on this. The award-winning pregame show is live from Teddy's Tavern downtown across the street from Bridgestone Arena. One final game for Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. It is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live from Teddy's Tavern out here across the street from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza, downtown Nashville, where today the 2023 season mercifully comes to an end for the Titans.
Thank goodness.
Again, the reporting is out there. Adam Schefter saying that it is far from a foregone conclusion that Mike Vrabel will return to coach to the Titans. Maybe Vrabel wants out. Maybe the Titans want to trade Vrabel. They'll have meetings this week. Tom Pelissero says the same thing. And again, what I was told was that it's not so much Vrabel doesn't like Rand Carthon as much as it is Vrabel's frustrations with the organization over the process and maybe what was conveyed to him about Rand Carthon's hiring. What do you think's going to happen?
Oh, wow. Who knows, honestly?
The answer is nobody.
Exactly.
But
nobody knows.
I'm asking you to speculate here.
Man. Let's say this. If between now and by the end of January, if more things starts to come out, I think Amy's, in her mind, she's going to be forced to move on from Vrabel. In a sense, she's going to be forced to move on from Vrabel. If more comes out, because again, it's either you want to be here or you don't want to be here. If you're paying attention to what all of what Vrabel's saying, he's basically telling you, like, really, I don't, but I'm not going to say it out loud, you know, because you can't burn your bridges around here when it comes to being a coach in this league, whether it's a head coach or a running backs coach. You can't burn your bridges. But when you say, as long as I can win, and everybody's looking at your roster like, you really can't win, that's telling you something. So to me, I think if more story starts to come out before – you know, this last game, in between this last game and before the Super Bowl, I think she's going to, in her mind, she's going to have to fire him. She's going to have to move on and allow this thing. Because you don't want to go into a new season with this hanging over your head as an organization. Does Vrabel want to be here? Because these same questions are going to be asked if Vrabel's here. Do you want to be here? Based on the stories that are coming out, Vrabel, do you want to be here? And we know what Vrabel's going to say. Yes, I want to be here, but do you? Because these stories keep coming out. And, you know, I can see if there was one story here, maybe one story there, then okay, we can dismiss it. But if they start flooding in different people, reputable sources, then you got to wonder, like, do you really want to be here? You're asking the players to come to work and be here, be present. I want that in my head coach, and if that's not the case, then we need to move on, whether you're saying that or not.
Do you think there's any chance Vrabel wins the power struggle and Rand loses out?
No. No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Just because of the fact that Rand's been here less than Vrabel?
Yes, because what did we say when she fired the GM? Who's next? The head coach. Well, he sort of kind of circumvented it because he fired the offensive coordinator. Then he fired the offensive line coach. What more are you going to do? You're not going to fire the DC. Well, you can fire the DC if you want to. But your name is next. You're next. Or what are they saying in track and field? Who's up on deck? The man in the hole or the woman in the hole? Well, now you're on deck.
That's why. So the league suffers from this disease I call MGS, my guy syndrome.
Yeah.
Which is, I got to have my guy. You know, I didn't want. And I use the Broncos as an example of this. I thought Russell Wilson was fine this year.
Yeah, he was.
You know, compared to what he was last year.
I'm
not either. But what he was last year, I mean, he was freaking terrible. And this year, I thought he was fine. And Sean Payton gets rid of him. Well, now you're putting the clock on yourself. Mm-hmm. Because before, it was, well, he didn't trade for Russell, and he inherited Russell, and he's done a good job with Russell. And so, positive, 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 positive. Well, you get rid of Russell. Next year, they're going to expect you to get a better quarterback, and they're going to expect you. And I don't know if there's going to be a better quarterback out there for you to have. And if you run out there with Jameis Winston next year and you lose, they're going to be mad at you. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you would come back with Russell Wilson and you had lost, they would have been mad at Russell. And that's firing John Robinson is the worst thing that ever happened to Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as they did that, the attention started to go to Vrabel.
Exactly.
That being said, I could see Vrabel winning a power struggle.
Even under this circumstance?
Uh-huh. And I tell you why.
Why?
Because I could see, you know, look, I don't know why Rand was hired. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying that in a mean way. Rand has a resume that says this guy should be in line for a general manager position. I'm not disputing that. But a lot of the Vrabel's upset sentiment has come out of New England. Mm-hmm. I don't think these guys are making it up. And one of the things that came out of there was Greg Bedard saying that some people believe that Rand Carthon was a minority hire that was pushed on the Titans. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what they said. My gut is Vrabel went up to Foxborough when he got inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, and just like any frustrated person would do, complained about the situation he had here. If that is in fact the case, that the NFL asked the Titans to hire Rand Carthon, I could then see that the ownership wouldn't truly be as attached to Rand as they would be maybe to Vrabel, to where they say, okay, fine, we'll do this, but now it's on you.
Well, if that does indeed happen, then you're gonna have an organization where really nobody wants to come. That's what you're gonna have if indeed that you allow that to happen, which means you've given basically you've given the head coach more power than you have as an owner. If indeed you do that, because you're trying to appease the head coach, you're saying I hired this guy to be the GM, but didn't give him full GM responsibilities.
Sure.
And now, because the head coach doesn't, not that he doesn't like him, but he doesn't like this dynamic, well, I'm going to fire him. Who you think, who else is going to want to come in here that's not a Vrabel guy?
Oh, no. If you do this, then whoever's the GM is just reporting to Vrabel.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, I'm not for it, but I'm more for it than what they have now. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, because you don't know who's doing what.
Yeah, I think what they're doing now, I think that what they're doing now is counterintuitive to winning, which is nobody is truly in command of the organization.
That's why I say Vrabel has to go.
And that doesn't work.
That's why I say Vrabel has to go. Not because I want him to go, but because the dynamics are all messed up now. In order to flip it back on the right side, you have to either, like you said, clear house with everybody, or you got to fire the head coach and allow the GM to pick it. You can't then fire the GM because the head coach is picking this guy again. You can't. I mean, you can do that, but to me, will that work? Because you may end up with the same problem over again.
Sure.
You know, this guy may be cool with it for a year or two, but you start building up that roster, he start getting his chest pumped out.
I picked that guy.
Now you're back in the same situation.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, I don't I wouldn't.
You'd have to give him full Belichick control.
And he hasn't earned that. He hasn't earned it whatsoever, because I look at the draft. I look at what he got. None of these guys, if we want to put the blame on John Robinson, which I think, the car is already gone.
I think it should be allowed to a certain extent, but the extent that some people are putting the blame on John Robinson is out of control. Yeah.
The car is already gone. It's up the street. We can't even see it no more. But my thing is, this was John's. These were John's people. John picked these guys. John drafted. Well, we know now the whole Derrick Henry situation. Now we really know.
But Traylon Burks dropping the ball last week that should have been a touchdown, that is John Robinson's handpicked replacement for A.J. Brown.
It could be. Well, it is. But he drafted Conklin, which was an All-Pro. Y'all chose not to sign him back, which could have been his fault, too. Corey Davis, which you drafted him too high, but he gave you first round 18th pick production, not first round 5th pick production. That's what he gave you. The guy, once he got that guy on the side of him in A.J. Brown, he was a bona fide number two guy. They can work number one when the number one was hurt for a game or two. Mm-hmm. But after that, he needed to go back in his role. So you drafted guys, Kevin Byard, all these guys that were foundational pieces. Your GM did that. You fed off of that. But then once those picks started to mess up, or it didn't hit, now it's all of a sudden John's fault and Mike has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it was, they won with those 91 players a couple years ago, and it was, look at what Mike did with this terrible team. And then they lose, and it's like, well, don't blame Vrabel. He's got a terrible team.
Yeah, blame John.
And it's like, so wait a minute. So when Vrabel wins, it's, oh, look at what Vrabel did with this terrible team. And then when Vrabel loses, it's can't blame Vrabel because he had a terrible team. That doesn't seem...
Yeah,
if you get the credit for winning with a terrible team, then the expectation should be that you'd be able to win with a terrible team.
Absolutely.
Maybe the team wasn't as terrible as people made it out to be. And then when they traded A.J. Brown and had the injuries that they had last year, because they did start 7-3, then the terrible started to sneak in. And maybe like everybody else in the NFL, Mike Vrabel can't win with a terrible team. I truly, again, all of this stuff is so nauseating to me. That if I ran the Titans, and I think this is really smart. This is the new thing, because the Patriots are doing this with Belichick, too. They want to trade him. They're saying, oh, we have meetings that we're going to have to go over and decide where to go from there. Guys, Belichick is not coaching the Patriots next year. It is not happening. No way, no how. But if they fire Belichick tomorrow, then Belichick can go to Washington or the Chargers or wherever for free. And I think Robert Kraft would like a draft choice in exchange for Bill Belichick. So we're going to have meetings, and we're going to see how the meetings go. And then, Dylan, we're going to think about how it goes in the meetings, and then we're going to bide our time to see if we can trade our coach. I think that's probably going to happen here.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But I at the end of the day, I would blow it up. If I were the Titans, I would start from scratch. I think you're right at the spot where you can start from scratch. You're going to have money to spend. You're going to have draft choices. You're going to have big choices to make, including at quarterback and others.
So let's start over. If you say that, do you trust ownership to pick the right two guys? No, you don't. You hesitated. You hesitated too long. You don't trust
them. Did I say that this is what I would do if I owned the team? Because if I own the team, I trust me.
But you don't trust them. So
I do not trust them.
Blowing it up is not beneficial. It's not. So to me, it has to be you have to put things back in order. You have to put everything back. Everything has an order. And when it gets out of order, things starts to get messed up. So you got to put it back in order.
So what Blake wrote at Paul Kaharsky's website, Blake Bettingfield, the old Titans director of scouting who writes now for Paul, he wrote last week after the Texans game that Vrabel should return, Rand should return, but that Amy needs to hire an out-of-the-office, kind of off-the-record NFL advisor to her to kind of – not look over Rand and Mike's shoulder, but to just kind of watch the day-to-day and really give her a report as to this isn't.
But who can operate under that under that sort of – who operates under that prism? Well, they got the egos. You can't operate when
No, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know.
Oh, they wouldn't know.
So
okay,
it's like,
okay,
you know, okay. Amy tells, and I know who I would have as the person to do this, but Amy tells, you know, let's say Floyd was alive.
Uh-huh.
Amy says to Floyd, like, Floyd, tell me what you think. Uh-huh. Like, just be honest with me. Do you think this is working? Do you think this is not working? Like, watch these guys from afar. You know, we'll bring you around the building a little bit. Not that anybody would know that you're talking to me. But just, you know, hey, Floyd Reese is here today wanting to say hi and everything else and just kind of get a vibe and whatever. Because, quite frankly, that's what I think Floyd Reese was. Uh-huh. And I think that led to some of the winning that was done around here. Because all these personnel things, I mean, we haven't really talked about as much. All this personnel stuff really went to crap when Floyd got sick and COVID happened. Mm-hmm. You know, and then all of a sudden they drafted Caleb Farley. They traded for Julio Jones, two moves he would have never been okay with. And it's like, well, you know, so that they need that person in there to advise Amy on what's going on. And if you told me that they had, like, that kind of person was, like, in her hip pocket helping her out, then I would feel comfortable with them blowing it up and starting over. But I just think there's too much toothpaste out of the tube with the current structure in place.
Well, I mean, if you do indeed go that route, the expectation for whoever the next GM and coach combination, it couldn't be hot because you have to do your due diligence. And then while you're doing your due diligence, you have the free agency going on. You have the scouting for the combine going on. Then ultimately you have the draft going on. So you really don't have anybody in place to walk you through all of these things to do the scouting for you. So when we're on the clock, you know exactly what guys to pick. So you have put your own self in a position where you can't do any of that right now. The only thing you can do is fire the head coach if you choose to go that route. You can't blow it up because that sets you back months.
Will it?
Yeah. Because just think, when do they blow it up?
Like when they hired John Robinson?
No. I'm saying, when do you blow this thing up now? After the season?
Quite frankly, tomorrow.
Oh, so you blow it up tomorrow. Then you got to go through the hiring process. The hiring process is going to take about a month.
And it's not the same hiring process
exactly.
that it was before.
So it puts you behind. Now you don't have the scouting. You have your scouts, but who are they coming to? You know, who are they giving information to? There's no GM and there's no head coach. She can't do it because of the situation that this team is in. That's why if you're going to do anything, you part ways with the head coach. Allow the GM to pick his guy and then moving forward. I'm not advocating for Vrabel to be fired. I'm just saying if indeed you're going to do this, you fire the head coach right now after the season. Y'all have a talk. Phrase it however you want to phrase it. It was a mutual parting, and we wish him well, or you try to finagle a trade with somebody to get a pick or two.
But the problem is that you can't do that tomorrow because every team has to interview two minority candidates to satisfy the Rooney Rule. So let's say the Patriots really want Vrabel, right? Uh-huh. Also, the amount of fans that are like, I think we could get a pick swap with the Patriots. Folks, the New England Patriots are not trading the number three pick because that is a quarterback, and they are not giving up their starting quarterback for Mike Vrabel. And some people were like, because there's four quarterbacks maybe, but there's probably three at the top of the draft, right?
Yes.
Williams, May, and Daniels.
Yep.
So if New England picks three, which is where it looks like they're going to pick, they are for sure getting one of the three quarterbacks that are at the top of the draft. Somebody said to me, well, maybe Daniels will still be there at seven if they swap. They are not taking that risk. So in order to do this, you would need like next year's first round pick, and then you're probably looking at like a second this year and maybe a player that is a starting-ish player.
Uh-huh.
And that would be the deal for Vrabel, and I would take it if that was what was offered. But like, let's say the Patriots want Vrabel. Mm-hmm. Well, they would have to wait and interview two minority candidates before trading for Vrabel, and something could go wrong in that stance, and they don't want to be left holding their schminzers trying to figure out who their coach is going to be. So it makes trading a coach very difficult in today's
Because the NFL, that's not what the NFL wants. They don't want the trading of coaches. Now, players, it's a different story.
Sure.
But they don't want this.
They want bidding wars for coaches.
Exactly. That's not what this business is about. It's about, we got our owners, but it's about quarterbacks, marquee players, players that, can be, impact players. It's not about impact coaches. Yeah, they come along. We understand that you don't want to lose them. But I'm not going to sit here and during free agency, we got this coach over here, this coach, and we're trading coaches. No. Mm-hmm. Owners don't want that. You know, the league doesn't want that.
Now, there is one other side of this equation, which is it looks like Arthur Smith might get fired in Atlanta. Arthur spent a decade here as
– bring him back for what, Jared?
No. Hear me out.
Okay.
We know Titans ownership, you know, has feelings about people they trust one way or another.
Uh-huh.
I would not rule out Titans ownership using Arthur Smith as their worst-case scenario, mm-hmm. that if Arthur gets fired in Atlanta, we try to work out a trade for Vrabel, it ends up not materializing, we fire Vrabel and hire Arthur to be the head coach.
But then is it the guy Ran wants, or is the guy that you force Ran on? Because you're going to end up with the same problem that you had before.
It should be noted, though, like as much as I want the general manager to hire the coach,
uh-huh.
a lot of times the coach is hired by the owner. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like now the GM is a part of it, mm-hmm. but like it's the coach who's – it's the owner who's –
to say, okay, yeah, we can go with this.
A lot of times, like in a great organization, it is the owner – saying, who do you think we should hire, and then them making a group decision. In a lot of cases, I think it's just the owner doing it. But then again, Pittsburgh, that's a great organization, yeah. and the Rooneys hire the coach.
And look what it has gotten them, a lot of Super Bowls, and a coach that has been there for 17 years without a losing record.
I mean, every coach they've had for like the last 60 years has won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They've only had three.
Exactly.
So, again, I'm just throwing that out as like a possibility there. I think that this whole thing is so screwed up. And the only thing it feels like with the Titans is every move that they seem to keep making is another screwed up. This all started when they fired Robinson when they did. Mm-hmm. And I know why they did it. Mm-hmm. They fired Robinson because they wanted to fire John Robinson. They did not think he was doing a good job. And they knew that after A.J. Brown went off on them, mm-hmm. that was the time to do it, to which people would understand. Had the Titans, which at that point had like a 95% chance of winning that division last year, had they been to the playoffs four straight years and won three straight division titles, you can't fire the general manager. Yeah. And they knew it. So they took that risk of saying, we just got crushed by A.J. Brown. Our fans will understand. And they were right. Fans were on their side mm-hmm. for having done what they did. But the firing of Robinson and the whole fakakta process mm-hmm. from the beginning to where we are now has just been one unmitigated disaster after another, whether it's, you know, Vrabel feeling like he was lied to, thinking that Ryan Cowden was going to get the job, and then he didn't, and it was, surprise, Rand Carthon's your new GM, and everything else that's taken place. But it's just been one disaster after another since they made the disastrous move that they made, the unprecedented disastrous move to fire a winning general manager yeah. in the middle of the season. Like, ever since they did that, it's just been bad, 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 bad. And I think this goes back to the process more so than the results. Mm-hmm. If you've got a good process, you're not going to win every time. Mm-hmm. But I think you're more likely than not going to get a positive outcome if you do things the right way. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if you run your route the right way, you're not going to get open every time.
Yeah.
But you're going to get open most of the time,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. But if you do something wrong, sometimes you may hit on it.
But most of the times you won't.
Most of the time you won't.
Yeah.
And that's the Titans' process has been so flawed from the beginning. And they wanted, I think, to shed themselves of the arrogance that John Robinson had. But in the process, they've been infinitely more arrogant.
But you can't shed your arrogance and add more arrogance.
And it feels like they've become more arrogant.
And they hired arrogance.
I think Ran has been kind of arrogant as general manager.
But he has. I disagree on that because there's nothing to tell me that, one, he doesn't talk much. Now, is that because the ownership doesn't want him to be out there as much?
Well, I will back him on the not talking during the season
uh-huh.
because I think he and Vrabel have an agreement.
Like you
that
do
is,
all
you
the
do that during the season.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, John Robinson talked and Floyd Reese talked. Right. And Floyd Reese was Jeff Fisher's boss.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to make an agreement with Jeff Fisher about when I talk and when I don't
exactly.
talk. But Rand Carthon's not Mike Vrabel's boss. But I did feel like the way that they approached the offseason mm-hmm. and the way they talked about it was incredibly arrogant. You know, that the way they approached the receiver position was very arrogant. The way they waved at the camera, you know, when they drafted Josh Wiley, I thought was pretty arrogant. The way that they handled, like, the Henry and Byard rumors, I thought was incredibly arrogant. You know, not calling people back, not, you know, just saying everybody's wrong and expecting everybody to go in their favor. Andre Dillard, we know he'll work. And I think that not having backup options there, because there was no guarantee, Dillard, that's arrogant. So I think the entire organization, I think ownership's arrogant. I think the GM's arrogant. I think the coach is incredibly arrogant. And I think it's hurt the Titans a lot. All right, who's in, who's out for this game? And will this be Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill's last game with the Titans? We'll get to that coming up next. Live from Teddy's Tavern out here right across the street from Bridgestone Arena. It is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live out at Teddy's Tavern out here at Bridgestone Arena, or I shouldn't say at Bridgestone Arena, across the street from Bridgestone Arena. The second floor of Teddy's going to have every game for you. And Teddy's Tavern downtown has the best burger on Broadway. They got the happy hour as well, Sunday through Thursday. And, of course, it's from 4 to 6:30 and 10 o'clock till close, $5 drafts. Again, that's Teddy's Tavern. You go to the arena, the stadium, whatever. This is a perfect centralized location. And it should be noted, D-Mace, that next year, today is the last day of ever parking at Nissan Stadium, because they will begin construction on the new stadium. And then my guess is, I don't know where the hell people are going to park once that new stadium is built.
Oh,
so it's going to be a lot of parking on this side. And so,
and a lot of walking.
We may be throwing some serious tailgate parties next year with everybody,
one
way or another. Before we get to kind of the ins and outs and everything else, let's take a look at who is in and who is out as far as the Titans are concerned. Inactive today, quarterback Will Levis is the third emergency quarterback. Mm-hmm. Defensive back Anthony Kendall, linebacker Caleb Murphy, linebacker Travis Gibson, offensive lineman Jalen Duncan, offensive lineman Daniel Brunskill, and defensive lineman T.K. McClendon out today for the Titans. And we all know Ryan Tannehill is in. Jacksonville actually has something to play for, as when and they're in, they win the division. Inactive today, wide receiver Christian Kirk, outside linebacker Yasir Abdullah, offensive lineman Cole Van Lannen, defensive tackle, former Titans draft pick Angelo Blackson, and third emergency quarterback, also a former Titan, Matt Barkley.
Inactives or actives?
They are inactive.
Okay.
They are inactive. But make of that what you will. Today could be Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry's last game as Titans. And I said we'd get into that.
Yes.
But we have some breaking news. This is from Diana Russini. And if it comes from Diana Russini, where is it probably coming from?
Vrabel, more than likely. Okay. So say Jarrett.
According to Diana Russini, again, Adam Schefter said there's going to be meetings at the end of the year, at the beginning of this week, where Vrabel may not want to be back, and they may not want Vrabel back. And Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, reported that there's going to be meetings and that Vrabel may not want to be back, and was surprised by the hiring of Rand Carthon, and that the Titans may not want Vrabel back, but they would trade him. They wouldn't cut him loose, according to Tom Pelissero. I told you guys that I heard from a league source, I heard that Vrabel thought Ryan Cowden was going to be the general manager. Ryan Cowden thought that Ryan Cowden was going to be the general manager. They thought they were going to be working together, and then it was surprise, and that Vrabel's trust in Amy has wavered ever since then. I also said that I talked to a league source who said, when I asked what's word on the street with Vrabel, he said, one more season and then he's out with the Titans. According to Diana Russini, quote, while conversations are expected at the end of any season between NFL owners, their general manager, and head coach, I was told by multiple high-ranking sources there is currently no meeting set between Titans ownership, general manager Rand Carthon, and head coach Mike Vrabel. So Schefter says there are meetings and we'll see. Pelissero says there are meetings and we'll see. Diana says no meetings. Now, let me say this. If it wasn't for Diana Russini and the Titans' relationship with Diana Russini and wherever that relationship comes from, that guy playing quarterback for the Texans is probably on the Titans right now. And I don't know how the Titans can get over that. Adam Schefter, I have heard, you know, again, this is gossip more than it is reporting what I'm about to say. I've heard that Vrabel doesn't like Adam Schefter. So when I saw Schefter, who almost never reports on the Titans, reporting yesterday about conversations between the Titans and Vrabel that will be had afterwards, I found that to be very newsworthy because I felt like it was coming from a non-Vrabel source. Because, again, I've been told that Vrabel doesn't like Adam Schefter. Now, we know Diana is the pro-Vrabel, you know, that is Vrabel's handpicked in the satchel media insider, and she's saying no meetings there.
Well, that can't be true. They're going to have meetings. You got to have meetings at the end of the season. Every team, whether you have a winning season or a non-winning season, at the end of it, you have meetings to kind of a summary of what went on throughout the year. Now, what
Andy Reid's going to meet with the
ownership
of the Chiefs.
Exactly. Andy and the GM is going to meet with the owner and say, hey, listen, this is what went on. This is what we need moving forward. Not to say that anybody's going to get fired, but we all need to come together at the end of the year and have a meeting. That's just like having parent-teacher conferences. Everything's going well, but we all need to meet. The teacher, the parents, and the student need to meet and either, hey, this is what you need to do moving forward, or, hey, continue to do what you've what you're doing, and, you know, you'll be okay. So, to me, there's going to be a meeting. Now, what's said in that meeting is a different thing. Now, if it's a meeting of the minds of, hey, this is what we need to do moving forward as far as the roster, and a summary of what happened during the season, then, okay, that's going to happen. But there could be another meeting that says, hey, moving forward, do you want to be here or don't you want to be here? And if you do, these are the things that we're going to do moving forward as an organization. This is going to be sort of the hierarchy, or we're going to stick with the collaboration sort of phrase word moving forward. But there's going to be a meeting. But to me, if Diana's saying there's not going to be a meeting, that's odd. Or is she getting information from Vrabel? Vrabel said, no, I ain't meeting. Ain't going to be no meeting. And Vrabel's saying he really don't want to meet, so there ain't going to be no meeting in regards to that. Is he telling, is that what she's getting? Or is she getting what the other two guys said or the other three people said, that wasn't really true. We're not going to meet, you know, the conversation is not going to be about the GM and head coach's relationship. It's not going to be that type of meeting.
Is it wrong that
we're not going to have that?
I don't give a rat's ass what Diana says because I just view that as like.
But you have to.
No. I mean, I don't think Diana's lying. I mean, I think she's told these things. But I find it to just be like, okay, here's the official statement from Mike Vrabel at this point in time.
Like he doesn't want, if you're asking him to meet to discuss this hierarchy and how we move forward, I'm not meeting. That's not what I'm meeting about because you didn't hire the guy that you told me you were going to hire.
I assume that Pelissero and Schefter, and again, Pelissero works for the league-owned network. I highly doubt that they made up what they reported, right?
Yeah.
So then Diana's going to come out and say none of that's true?
Well, Vrabel come up on a podium and was like, I didn't say that in regards to the quarterback who was going to be starting.
Right.
When it was put out there.
Which was a giant rocket shot at Rand Carthon.
Which was put out there, Will Levis will be the starter. And do you ask him the next day? And he's like, I didn't say that. That didn't come from me. So had it come from Diana that he was starting, then yes, it would have came from you. But it didn't come from Diana. It came from another source.
You know what I was thinking about? And this is the thing that, like, the fans just don't want to believe. So they just, as soon as, like, this became a story, they just completely dismissed it as just total media bullcrap and that none of it's real. And remember on draft night, about how that whole day leading up to it, it was the Titans are trading up to 3 for C.J. Stroud. Like, it got out that the Titans were trading up to 3. Diana, who was supposed to be in Indianapolis for the draft, had come here and was reporting from the Titans facility. And the Diana reporting was along the lines of, And the people I've spoke to said that Tennessee is prepared to move up for a guy that Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel both believe is the best player to lead this organization forward. And the betting markets were ridiculous for Stroud at 3, and then all of a sudden, an hour before the draft, the money started coming in massively on Stroud at 2 to the Texans. And we later come to find out that the coach of the Texans wanted Will Anderson. And that the problem was they knew Arizona's top-rated player in the draft was Will Anderson. So they knew if they didn't take Will Anderson at 2, they may not get Will Anderson. And the coach wanted Will Anderson over the quarterback. And finally, it was the owner that stepped in and said, we're not letting Tennessee take our quarterback because they were going to try to trade back with Seattle at 5. And this is what Charles Robinson said. And so the owner stepped in and said, we're not going to let Tennessee take our quarterback. We're going to take the quarterback. And then we'll do whatever it takes to try to get Anderson. But if we don't get Anderson, we don't get Anderson. If Titans ownership went into that day thinking they were getting C.J. Stroud with that third pick, and all of a sudden it was gone because the Titans couldn't shut their mouths to Diana, whoever it was, that would be a stink that would still be lingering.
Well, we know who.
Stroud play the way he's playing.
If we are to believe that, you know, those two are sort of tied to the hip, Russini and Vrabel, well, who do you think it came from?
That's my point.
If
you own the Titans, and you know how serious these people take draft stuff like that. Like, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't like putting words in Floyd's mouth, especially, you know, because he's not alive. But, I mean, I'll tell you right now, if you leaked a Floyd Reese draft secret, he'd fire you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he would fire you, and he wouldn't even feel bad about it. And he wouldn't even, like, he'd go up to the podium, and they'd be like, why'd you fire Jeff Fisher? Because he told everybody who we were going to draft, and we lost the player. And so, now, Rand Carthon doesn't have that power, and I don't know if the owner would fire Vrabel over that. But if you thought you were getting C.J. Stroud, and let's say that it was Vrabel that talked to Diana, which seems more likely than not, that it was probably Vrabel who told Diana, and you didn't get C.J. Stroud, and he's doing what he's doing for the Texans right now? Mm-hmm. How would you forgive the coach for that?
That's a fireball offense.
Right then and there.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I don't dismiss that. As far as I know Titan fans, when it happened, we had Titan fans that were texting in saying things like, no, the Titans are so smart, they used Diana to get the Texans to take Stroud and trade up for Anderson so that it would hurt them in the long run. I don't think that's what happened. And so if, in fact, again, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck. It's a duck. The Titans couldn't shut their mouths about their desire for C.J. Stroud. The Titans leaked it out there. Vrabel couldn't stop talking to Diana that they wanted Stroud. Houston buckled, decided that they were going to go with the quarterback. Houston got the quarterback, and the quarterback is all world as Stroud looks like he is right now. That's something I don't see an owner forgiving.
But not only that. It's another slap in the face because they got the defensive player who seems like he's all world too.
Yeah.
So you got your cornerstone on defense and you got your cornerstone on offense.
Yeah.
All because y'all wouldn't shut your mouth.
Right. And nobody knew that the Texans liked Stroud.
Yeah.
Because if people thought the Texans liked Stroud, then the Texans, nobody would have been until the last hour before the draft. I think there was talk. There was serious talk that the Texans preferred Levis over Stroud.
And I think the way that had they drafted Will, I mean, have they drafted Will Anderson, then I think their thought probably, we still can get our quarterback. And that quarterback would have been Will Levis.
Well, I think their thought was their quarterback was Stroud, but they didn't think that the market, everybody knew the Colts wanted Richardson. Even I knew that because the Colts were going to everybody telling them they wanted Levis. And I'm like, when every ESPN reporter is saying that they want Will Levis, what that tells me around draft time is that they absolutely do not want Will Levis. And so when they took Richardson, I wasn't surprised because I figured that Indianapolis was going to take the other guy than the guy that they had been telling everybody that they wanted. So their thought was we could trade to 5 with Seattle and still get Stroud. And then when it came out that Tennessee was hot for Stroud,
they had to.
I think it was the owner that said, I'm not letting Tennessee get our quarterback, which is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I think of this like I'm not dismissing this. As much as Titan fans want to pretend like that didn't happen or that that is not a humongous just betrayal of trust in the draft process. I mean, they NFL teams guard this stuff like CIA secrets. And you just gave it right to ESPN so they could broadcast it to the world. And then your division rival from the city that kicked you out, that you still live in, talking about the owners, they got your quarterback. That would get somebody fired right then and there. And so I can't forget about that to say, oh, well, no, the Titans, they're not having meetings to discuss this. I almost think that Vrabel told Diana that these meetings aren't about his job status, simply so that when the game's over today, he won't get asked about it 50 times.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, he doesn't want to spend his last press conference after a game talking about his future with the Tennessee Titans.
And
I don't think he wants to do that.
By the way, when they were asked about it after the fact, when they drafted Skoronski, they were asked about, well, wait a minute, what about all these rumors and trading up? And Rand was like, well, remember how earlier in the week I said everybody was nosy? I was one of the nosy people. I was doing all the calling around. I almost felt like Rand took the bullet for Vrabel there. When everybody assumed that since it came from Diana, everybody assumed that it was Vrabel who leaked the info.
Well, I mean, listen, there was information being leaked before Rand got here, and there's information being leaked while Rand's here.
And where's it getting leaked to?
Diana. So you can't just, you can't say, oh, you know, it was Rand that told Diana. No, I don't think Rand has anything to do in regards to information, the information flow from that organization to Diana Russini. Now, if it comes from somebody else, then maybe, yes, I don't know. But when it comes from Diana, I don't think he's not a part of that text chain, let's just say, when you're talking about what goes on in the organization and how it's fed to Diana Russini.
Do you believe that today is Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill's last game as Titans?
For sure, Tannehill. Derrick Henry, if I was a betting man, the probability would be very high that this is his last game. I do believe if Derrick is one of those guys like Eddie and like Steve, listen, if we got an opportunity to sign him back. I know it was a little bit different with Steve because there's only one guy that could be underneath center. So it was a little bit different in that. Even though I don't believe it should have happened that way.
Well, I was told how it went down.
Yeah.
Was that everybody, Bud, Jeff, Floyd, Steve, Vince, Bus Cook, were all in agreement that Steve was going to be the quarterback, transition it to Vince, and then Vince was going to take over. And everybody was in agreement and everybody was fine with it. And then came the workout day that Steve showed up and that Bud freaked out and that Floyd told Bud if we lock him out, he's not going to want to come back and it's going to be disrespectful. And Bud made him do it anyways, and then that's how that, you know.
Exactly. So, to me, I think Derrick has done enough for this organization. He basically carried this organization for 3 years. He did. If you don't want to – my thing is good GMs. And you know, I've watched Ozzie Newsome do his job for many, many years. And I always wonder, like, how does he get these guys to sign back with them? It's a respect factor. It's like, just like with Ray Lewis, like, go and test the market. Go see what the market says. We want you here. We want you to return. But if you want a lot of money, go test the market. Here's the deal that we're going, but go test the market. And if it's better than this, then okay, take it. But we want you back. Here's the deal. Ray signed back. Ed signed back.
Suggs
signed back. You had Jonathan Ogden signed back. All these guys signed back. Why? Because it was a respect factor. Yes, you allowed me to go out and test the market. Maybe there was a contract a little bit higher, but it was like it wasn't worth taking. I might as well stay here, hometown. They love me. I love it. So let's go. If the Titans should operate that way with Derrick Henry. Listen, we want you back. Is going to be at a reduced cost, and your snaps or your carries will be reduced. You're going to have to share the backfield. But here's a deal on the table for you, two-year deal. This is what it is. Go out and test the market, see what you get. If you can get a lot of money, take it. We understand. But if not, here's the deal. We want you back. I think that's how they should approach Derrick Henry. Let it be his decision whether he wants to come back under that contract or not. Because if he goes to the market, and we talked about this on Caroline Willie and D-Mace, the market is not going to be robust for him as far as money. It's not. So your best course of action may be to take the 2-year deal here, which essentially probably ends up being a 1-year deal. You can kind of segue out, you know, go out on a high note, be Derrick Henry,
retire a Titan,
and let it be. I can't see, just like I couldn't see Eddie George in that cowboy uniform. It was just like, dude, you don't look right. I can't see Derrick Henry in another uniform outside the Titans or the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Do you think it matters to Derrick Henry that he's something like 700 yards short of Eddie George for the franchise record in rushing yards, and the idea that if he returns here, he could break that, and that would help boost his Hall of Fame case? Or do you think Derrick looks at it like, because while I don't think there will be a robust market for Derrick in terms of money, I absolutely think teams like the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Cowboys will all be lining up.
Don't you think the Baltimore Ravens would love to have Derrick Henry right now?
They wouldn't have gotten Derrick. I think Delvin all Cook. Those teams. I they think all those Cook. Teams would be happy to have Derrick Henry. Uh-huh. Like the Cowboys to put Derrick Henry with Pollard, and so Derrick's kind of the thumper in the Zeke role. Like, I think that if they could get Derrick for $4 million, every single one of those teams would
take him.
I mean, and so if I'm Derrick, I'm looking at this saying, and this is why I don't think the Titans can necessarily lowball him. Like, to your point, if they're going to make that offer and say, hey, this is our offer and this is what we're going to give you, like, it has to be probably a little bit more than what you anticipate.
I'd say
the
it would between, if you're going to offer him something, give him in between, eight. Not even eight, I would say six. 5 and 7. Give him between 5 and 7.
Okay.
Give him a nice signing bonus.
Sure.
You know, 2-year deal, but essentially is a 1. Let him break the record. And then he can kind of, and hopefully you have a good season, and he can kind of walk out in a way that is respectable for him.
The one thing I will say is I do worry that if Derrick does hit the market, that he will be maybe, I'm trying to think of the right word, he'll enjoy the idea of going to a better team. That when he gets out there, he'll be enchanted by the fact that, man, because you know that if he gets out there, Philly's going to be interested. Again, probably in like the $4 million range.
There'll be about 10 teams that's really interested.
But A.J.'s going to be on the phone trying to lobby him. If A.J. hadn't gotten the coach fired yet, A.J.'s going to be trying to lobby him. Byard's going to be trying to lobby him. The Chiefs are going to say they probably have Mahomes calling him. Mm-hmm. You know, Dallas, he wrote in the Joe Rexroad article, he said that he always wanted to be a Cowboy. That was his dream, was to be a Cowboy.
I think Jacksonville will go after him hard.
I think, again, if the money's right for them, I think there's a lot of teams that want Derrick Henry. That's why but I wonder, like, what's better for his Hall of Fame chances? Would it be here or there? And I do see Derrick as the kind of guy who could look at it and say, I'm a Titan. And would take the money from the Titans to say, hey, I'm still here. Even at a reduced role, I'm still here. And kind of be like that Jerome Bettis figure that the bus was down the stretch. Now, I do want to say this on Tannehill. The other thing, too, by the way, I was just going to say this. If the Titans are not interested in Derrick Henry, they should say it tomorrow. They should get up tomorrow and say, you know, we think at this time it's probably in our best.
I don't think they're going to do it.
Of course they won't do that. What you are saying you would do with Henry is exactly what I would do with Tannehill. Mm-hmm. I would give Tannehill a contract offer. Mm-hmm. 1 year, $7 million, $10 million, something like that. Again, backup quarterback money, that's not crazy. And I would tell Tannehill, go test the market and see if there is a starting job for you. Mm-hmm. And if there is a starting job, take it. We want you to start. We want you to be happy. We want you. If there's a job out there with a team that has a shaky starter that wants you to be the backup, like say Pittsburgh is going to try to run it back with Kenny Pickett for another year, but they want you to be the backup to Pickett, and then Pickett could easily lose his job and then you become the starter, take it. But we want you to be the backup here. We want you to be Neil O'Donnell here. And the reason why I would say offer that, and I think today he wouldn't have any interest in that. But that doesn't mean that on March 19th, when he sees maybe that there isn't a starting job out there for him and, you know, kids are in school and all of a sudden there's been some time away from the year. But I think, one, it would be good for Levis to have Tannehill still here. Two, Levis gets hurt too much. And three, quarterbacks in general get hurt too much in today's NFL, especially the Titans quarterbacks with these lines they've been putting out there. They need two quarterbacks.
Yeah, they need two quarterbacks, but I wouldn't prescribe to bringing Ryan Tannehill back. I would allow Ryan Tannehill, listen, you gave us what you had. We thank you for it. You were great for us, you know, for a period of time. You helped you know, lift this organization back up along with Derrick Henry, Kev Byard, guys like that. But now I'm moving on with my quarterback. Whether you believe
– Well, who's going to be your backup quarterback?
No, you can go – you're going to go get a backup.
But are you going to get a backup that's better than Tannehill?
I think you would get a – I think there will be enough guys – like Sam Darnold, he will be a backup. There's no way he's staying in San Francisco for another year. I don't think so.
I think he might be a starter.
He could be potentially a starter. But how many teams – listen, how many teams are going to – now, there may be one or two teams that he can start on. You know, because of
Darnold?
Yeah, because of their situation with their quarterback. But I don't think they're – I think any other team, just about every team out there, looks at him as a backup that if the starter gets hurt, we're good with him as our starter moving forward. If he needs to play three, four games, five games, we're good with him as that as a starter for that time of period. But he's not going to be the franchise quarterback. You had your opportunity, you know. You
sure.
Were the, you, what was he, though? What pick? He was the
third.
Third pick in the draft. You had your opportunity. Unfortunately, I think the guy still can play, but the way the NFL is, if they give you a few shots and you don't make do, we're done.
I think he could have a Tannehill-like renaissance as a guy that is
But Tannehill was doing it coming off being a starting quarterback.
Right. Well, my point is I think the reason why Darnold went to San Francisco was because he was like, all right, I'm going to learn the Shanahan offense from Shanahan. Because he actually had a pretty good – remember, you know, when Tepper was in charge, they brought
Carolina.
In Baker Mayfield and P.J. Walker, and finally they gave up on that. They put Darnold in there. They fired the coach. Tepper got out of it, and they actually almost won the division last year. And so I think that, you know, see, I don't think there's going to be a starting job for Tannehill because Justin Fields is going somewhere to start.
Yeah.
Like, he won't be the starter
in Chicago.
But they're
going to trade him away. They're going to trade Justin Fields.
But so one of the places, like, say, Atlanta or something like that, Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback there. And then I think guys like Aiden O'Connell are going to get a shot to start with the Raiders, even if they may not really be starting quarterbacks. Washington, New England, Chicago are going to draft quarterbacks in the draft. You know, none of the young quarterbacks are going anywhere. So I don't know that there will be a starting job available for Ryan Tannehill, and I just don't know if there would be a backup who would be better.
I don't think Ryan's going to take the backup because of how the Titans did the whole situation was handled or how it sort of happened.
I don't think he would take it right now. I don't think he would take it today. If you sat down with him and you said, hey, we want you to take this today, you know, and it's like, screw you guys for the way you treated me. Screw you guys. I want a starting job, whatever. But then once that happens, I think it's easy to say, hey, door's always open here. And then if there wasn't something out there for him because Fields gets a job and Darnold gets a job and the Steelers decide to stay with Pickett and the Raiders decide to stay with O'Connell and the Commanders are going to draft a quarterback and if that happens and there's nowhere for him to go, then it's
he
like,
just may want to be a backup on
retire.
Some other team
or
retire. That, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying, like, hey, you have to come back. I'm saying, hey, we want to give you the option. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but then again, it's to me, it's a slap in the face to Kevin Byard. Even though I thought they should have
Well, they're not getting
moved
picks
on.
For Tannehill.
Exactly. Even though I thought they should have, if they were going to do it, they should have moved on in the offseason for Kevin Byard to get a trade. They probably would have got a little bit more for Kevin Byard had they did it in the offseason rather than the middle of the season. But if you choose to keep the quarterback who came from another team and say, well, we just want you to be – you've done such a great job. We just want you to be a part of our organization. What does that say that Kevin Byard looks like? I was here before him.
Yeah, but they can't get picks for Tannehill.
I know.
You know, like,
yeah,
there's a difference for there. I would just leave the option open just because I think Levis needs a Neil O'Donnell.
Oh, he does need a veteran guy that has won games in his league behind him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you can't put Mac Jones behind him next
year. No.
You know,
can't.
And so that's where I look at Tannehill. And as Floyd told me with Neil, this is how I would treat Tannehill. Neil was compensated well, as Floyd wanted to make sure that the role that they had signed him to, that we compensated him very fairly for that role. By the way, our injury reported and actives are presented by the Beast Unleashed, zero caffeine, zero sugar, and all the adult beverage fun. That's Beast Unleashed. Coming up next in the Titans finale, our picks to click. Who's got a click for the Titans on offense and defense? We'll do that next. Plus, the latest as far as Mike Vrabel and the Titans are concerned. We will continue that next. It is the award-winning pregame show live from Teddy's Tavern on Broadway, or I guess right across the street from Bridgestone Arena's Plaza, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Picks a Click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Derek Mason, who needs to click today for the Titans on offense?
All of them. Everybody needs to click. No. Wow. Man, damn. Who's playing? For one, no.
How about Butterfingers, Traylon Burks?
Gosh, man. I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. I want to go with Derrick Henry, but, you know, I'm going to go with Derrick Henry. Because this
even though the rules say that you can't.
Well, you went outside the rules last week. Was it last week or the week before?
I think it was a couple weeks ago. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but
you went outside the rules.
Like,
so I'm going to go with Derrick Henry. It's his last game, potentially as a Tennessee Titan. I think in order for this Titan team to beat the Jacksonville Jaguar, he has to have a Derrick Henry versus Jacksonville Jaguar type of game. It needs to be 25 carries for .130 at least, a touchdown, and maybe, hell, he may even throw another touchdown. But I think my pick to click is Derrick Henry.
If Derrick Henry runs for 135 yards, knowing what Jacksonville's playing for, Doug Peterson ought to be fired.
I like Doug Peterson, man.
Well, you give him 130 yards to a team that can't block with no passing game.
If you fire Doug Peterson, then go ahead, get rid of Vrabel. I take Doug Peterson. Give me Doug Peterson.
I will take Chig Okonkwo.
Oh, you're on a Chig train
now. And I'm going to tell you why I'm taking Chig Okonkwo.
Finally.
Here's why. Because Chig Okonkwo has done just enough to convince people that he should be the Titans starting tight end next year. And when I say people, I mean everybody but me. I am not interested in running it back with Chig. He had his opportunity. I think he failed. And I would
go get
a real –
Can he be the pseudo starter, like bring in a veteran guy and it kind of, you know.
Maybe. That's what they should have done this year and they didn't do. But – I do not believe that the Jacksonville Jaguars, this game means something to Jacksonville. They are not going to groove a fastball like Chan Ho Park did to Cal Ripken Jr. in his last All-Star game. They are not going to let Derek on senior night run for 200 yards.
Or like the right tackle letting Strayhorn get the sack.
Yes. They're not going to do that. So I think the passing game is going to have to come up. I think Chig right now is the only guy who, outside of Hopkins, is any good. And I'm not even sure he's really all that good, but Tannehill trusts him. And he has caught the ball lately, which is a nice change from the first two-thirds of the season. So I'll take Chig Okonkwo. Defense.
Oh, man. Defensively, I'm looking. I forget the kid's name. He started the last two games.
I'm picking him to click, and I don't even know who he is.
No, the linebacker. Gosh, this would be his third game starting, actually.
Otis Reese, the fourth.
Otis Reese, yes. Otis Reese. The kid has been. He's been a tackling machine. He's been all over the field the last two games. He's gotten his opportunity, and he's made the best of his opportunity. This is a guy that Vrabel liked during camp, but he just couldn't keep him because of the numbers. They put him on practice squad. Now he's been elevated, and he's shown that he's worth the elevation. So I'm going to pick Otis Reese.
I don't even know who's on the defense anymore.
That's what I was like. Yeah.
I'll go with Harold Landry. He's a 10-sack guy. You know, the fact that Harold Landry was a 10-sack guy, got his contract, tore his ACL, came back from the ACL, had the typical ACL hangups when he first got back, and is again a 10-sack guy, I think is a tribute to really how good of a player Harold Landry actually is. Mm-hmm. And so I will take Harold Landry as my pick to click for the Titans today, and our picks to click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. So today we got a lot of reporting going on here, right? So on one hand, we've got what happened yesterday. Adam Schefter saying there will be meetings between the Titans and Vrabel at the end of the season. It is not a foregone conclusion that Vrabel wants to be back, nor is it a foregone conclusion that they want him back. Tom Pelissero saying that the issue, you know, that there may be some issues between Vrabel and Titans ownership, and that we'll see where that ends up. And then I said that Vrabel has lost trust, from what I've been told by a league source, that there might be a trust issue there, given that Vrabel thought Ryan Cowden was going to be the general manager, and he wasn't. I also talked to another league source that said that he believes, I mean, again, I think I read the conversation when I said, what's word on the street about the Titans and Vrabel? Quote, he is back for one more season. Unsure if Rand has a name that he can land, and also it is not an attractive job based on some of the other current and projected openings, not due to ownership, but due to overall talent. Mm-hmm. Then Diana Russini came out 30 minutes ago and said no meetings about Vrabel and his job status with ownership or anything else. Now this was Adam Schefter on ESPN Sunday Countdown talking about the latest with Mike Vrabel.
Well, here's what I'd like to say. This one is truly up in the air. Now, I'm going to say leaning safe out of respect to the type of coach that Mike Vrabel's been and all that he's accomplished. But I can tell you that this situation is unsettled. There is no solution. And there are going to be organizational meetings at some point, maybe as early as this week, that to determine whether Mike Vrabel moves on or whether he stays. There's been speculation that he'd like to leave. He has said that he'd like to stay. There's been speculation that he could be traded away. Obviously, we know the ties to New England in the past. We'll say leaning safe, but his future is very much in question.
I thought the word that was key there for me was how Schefter definitively said this situation is unsettled. And I think that's the best way. Again, like I said, you know, there's so many moving parts with this, right? Like, okay, if we fire Vrabel, Ran, who do you think we can get? And then you have to be careful asking Rand that question, because if you ask Rand that question, Rand could then turn around and go say, you know, they're asking Rand Carthon who should be a head coaching candidate. They want to fire Vrabel, so you got to be careful about that. Then there has to be a, well, what can we get in a trade for Vrabel? Well, we don't know, so we need to see. So I think that that's the best way to say it, unsettled with the coaching position. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's so much that has gone on.
And why is Vrabel's handpicked insider saying no to all of this and Diana?
Because I think you answered that a little bit, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes ago. He doesn't want the question to be right away after a game. So are the reports about Diana, you know, or are the reports that came out from Schefter and these other people, are they true? Well, in order to squash that, and hopefully it won't come up, which I think it still will, well, you push this from Diana Russini, and everybody believes where it's coming from. No, there won't be any, you know, discussions about my job. Everything's okay. We're just moving forward. So now I won't – the conversation or the interview will not be consumed with questions about me and my future moving forward, even though I think they're – you know, that they will. What Vrabel can hope for, best case scenario, is that Derrick Henry goes off and that they win. Now the questions about him and his future won't be so many. Why? Because people will be asking about Derrick Henry. And is Derrick Henry going to be here next year? Derrick Henry, you know, he ended the season on a wonderful note. He rushed for 140 yards. Y'all won the game. What does that do for you going into the offseason? It's about that and not about, well, Adam Schefter and this guy and that guy reporting that, you know, y'all going to have this big meeting after the season. But then, you know, Diana comes out and says, no, there's not going to be any meetings. So we're trying to squash it before I even get to the podium. I think that's why you push that out there, because you have three people saying,
he's going to lie to Diana basically because he just doesn't want to deal with it.
He doesn't want to deal. How many times does Vrabel wants to deal with questions outside of football on the field?
And how many times has Vrabel lied about things to avoid having to do things he doesn't want to do?
Yeah, he just doesn't. He omits the truth.
Probably pretty consistently.
He omits the truth.
Coming up next, Mike Vrabel. We got a key. I don't know if it's a key to the game, but maybe a key to his take on all of this. Plus, we'll take a look at the final line and our final game day predictions for our final segment of the year, the award-winning pregame show, live from Teddy's Tavern, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live out at Teddy's Tavern, one final segment on the award-winning pregame show. We start with the coach's take, Mike Vrabel, his keys to the game. But this is about all the chatter and all the reporting, and Schefter said this, and Pelissero said that, and finally he was asked this week, do you want to be here?
Of course I want to be here. Be here as long as we can win, and long as we can, you know, do this thing. And it's been great, but it also has been, you know, just frustrating this year. And nobody wants to be where we're at. You know, you feel, you know, for the players, you know, having been in that situation, those guys are out there selling out, and yeah, you feel for them when you look out there on the field, and we're not winning, or you know, it's pretty obvious. But you know, the one thing that you know, allows me to at least sleep at night is, you know, when the games, you know, we had a clunker in Jacksonville and in Houston, and we're out there, you know, fighting, not letting them run through us, you know, for 40, 50 yards and all that. And I know that there's no moral victories, and that's not a moral victory, but it's just a lot of times in those situations, you can just pack it up and pack it in. And, you know, so that's, you know, that was last week. And now this week we have to be in a different situation. You know, talked about the ability to put ourselves in that competitive situation, you know, where the game has some flow to it. And, you know, you make a play, you get a turnover, right? You pin them down and you start playing complimentary. So I talked to the team again, you know, about that and about eliminating, you know, some of the mistakes, you know, that are just, you know, that come at critical times and that, you know, make it tough to overcome.
There you go. That was Vrabel's long, drawn-out answer. What do you make of the one? The of course I want to be here as long as we can win, as long as we can do this thing, and then two, all the mumbling that followed after it.
I didn't pay attention to the stuff after it.
I mean, that was all rambling after it.
After what he said,
mindless dribble.
I paid attention to the first 5 seconds of his answer outside of the. But when he actually started talking, I paid attention to the first 5 seconds of it. After that, it was just like Charlie Brown. I didn't hear anything. Pay attention to what he's saying. He's listen, as long as they can win, as long as they can do this, do we believe that they can win under these circumstances? No. Do we think the roster is a winning roster moving forward? No, we don't. I don't believe it is. Now, the roster will be upgraded, but will it be upgraded to a point where,
I mean, because, I would think last year I thought they'd upgrade the offensive line and they made it worse.
But you got Jacksonville, they're still, I believe, a good team. Houston, we know what they're going to be and what they are and what they're just going to get better.
I think Jacksonville's got issues. I think Jacksonville, the team to worry about next year is,
well, Houston is going. I think you got three teams essentially. You got three teams right now that are above you. Now, whatever order you want to put them in, that's up to you. But right now, you have three teams in your division that are above.
For me, like with the Colts, is okay, does Richardson pop or not? No. We have no idea if he's going to or not. I love Richardson. I think he's an unbelievable talent, but who knows? Then with Jacksonville, I think Trevor Lawrence is what he is, which is he's.
I think they're going to, if they beef up the interior of their offensive line, I think he's going to be better. For me, he played hurt. It seemed like after the third week of the season, he just played hurt. He was just always – something always was wrong with them. Now, that's just like the Titans. It's a contributing factor. The offensive line is a contributing factor to that. So, you beef up the interior of his offensive line, I think Jacksonville is going to be better. But, again, however you want to put those three
and
things –
and Houston's going to be a problem.
Yeah, Houston's going to be a problem, no doubt. Yeah. But the Titans are now at the bottom of the AFC South.
Sure. I mean, that's I just think it's wild that the coach who says no front running is now saying, I only want to be here as long as we can win. As long as Mike Mularkey builds a culture for me to build upon, that's all I really want. And I just, you know, I just think, again, the only thing, I don't even take the I want to be here into serious consideration. I don't think any of that matters. I think it's all talk. The final line today for the Titans against the Jags, according to ESPN Bet, is Jacksonville -3.5. It opened at -3, which means that money has been coming in on Jacksonville to cover. And the over-under is 41.5, so they don't expect the Titans or the Jags really to score a whole bunch of points. That's our final line. So here's what I want to do for our game day prediction. Who wins today and why?
Okay.
And what happens with the coach, the general manager, and the owner? Who wins today and why?
Oh, man, I'm picking Jacksonville to win this. I think Jacksonville needs this game.
You think?
Well, I know they need this game to get in the playoffs. Win, you win scenario for Jacksonville.
Lose, you're out.
So they got to have this game. And I just think they have all around, I think they have too much for the Tennessee Titans as we sit right now. There are too many things going on with the Titans. Not just injuries, but all these speculations about your head coach and all this other stuff. And I think they're going to try to forcefully tried to get Derrick Henry going this game, and it may be to the detriment of the team. Mm-hmm. But you want him to go out on a good note. So I just think Jacksonville has too much for them this go around. I think this Titans team is too beat up. They're starting guys we don't even know, especially on defense. So, and that offensive line, I mean, man, you might as well just place tag 7-on-7.
Is it the worst offensive line you've ever seen?
Yes, it is. It is. And that's hard to say, but it is. It's the worst offensive line I have ever seen in professional sports, even in college football. This is the worst offensive line that I've ever seen. I haven't seen anything worse than this. I have not.
I will take the Jags. I'll go 23-10. I just don't think the Titans have enough weapons. And plus, like, you've experienced this, but my guess is Jacksonville spent all week focused in the meetings and film sessions and practice field and everything else, and I think the Titans probably – yeah, they've been there, but like they've kind of mailed it in.
They got to motivate themselves.
Cancun
to get out.
On three. So I think that's probably
people
been a part of it.
People still go to Cancun? I thought they picked another spot to go.
They go to nicer places now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so now that leaves us to what happens with the coach and the general manager and the owner.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's the honest answer. I don't think you fire the GM. I don't think you clean slate with the whole thing and start over with a GM and a new head coach. I think you have that meeting and you fill out whether he wants to be here or not. If you get any feeling outside of him wanting to be here, then you got to move on. If there's any hesitancy or anything, if you're unsettled about anything, you got to move on from him. You have to. And you got to start the clock on your GM as soon as he hires his head coach. So, to me, that's what you do.
So, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen? I think they'll end up keeping both of them. I think they're going to run it right back with Vrabel unless something just, some breaking news happens. But I think they run it back with both of them. I don't think Amy, unless she can trade them, but I don't think Amy is in the business of paying money to somebody that isn't here anymore.
I think Mike Vrabel will be traded.
You think he will be traded?
Yeah. The Schefter report yesterday was kind of the moment for me where I was like, okay, this is real. Mm-hmm. Especially because Schefter, from what I've been told, Vrabel doesn't like Schefter. I think Vrabel will be traded.
So he's not a Shefty.
No, he is not a Shefty. Yeah. I think Vrabel will be traded. I think Rand will stay. And I think that could be as much of a disaster as Vrabel and Rand staying together, but that's a different discussion for a different day. I believe that this will be not only Derrick Henry's last game as a Titan, I believe it'll be Ryan Tannehill's last game, and I believe it'll be Mike Vrabel's last game as a Titan.
Well, you mean that whole coaching staff then?
Well, yeah, but I think it'll be some massive changes on the coaching staff, even if Vrabel's not back. And the coaching staff might be part of the process.
Hey, you change the staff or?
Happened with the last guy and happened with the guy before that. I want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors this year for the award-winning pregame show. Again, last year, the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters voted this program, this award-winning pregame show, the best local sports coverage. And I want to thank our friends here at Teddy's Tavern. I want to thank our friends at Twin Peaks for hosting us during the road games. I want to thank our friends with the Beast Unleashed. And I want to thank our friends, of course, with Parman Tractor and Equipment for having us this season on what was a very exciting up-and-down edition of the award-winning pregame show. And I want to give a special shout-out to Connor back in the studio who's been doing this with us every week. Connor, thank you so much.
Thank you, Connor.
Everybody, enjoy the off-season. We will have plenty to say. But we, of course, will see you next year for the pregame show.
Later.